You're about to listen to the flagship Three Fat Nerds podcast, an 8122 production in association with hashtag 607 podcast. Hope you enjoy the show. What's up, nerds, and welcome back to your weekly dose of all that is pop culture nerdom with your three, actually make that two favorite fat nerds for the second week in a row, but you are still listening to the flagship Three Fat Nerds podcast, better known as 3FN, and we are coming to you from the 8122 Production Studios at Dragon Master Games. I am your host, Rich. Ron is out again, saving the streets of the local area, the 607, once again from you know, rust and depravity and all that happy jazz. But joining me, as always, is the man who does not need an introduction but has the longest introduction of all podcasting. That's right, he is hashtag Big Daddy Cool, hashtag Mad Dog Strong Style, hashtag Challenge Accepted, hashtag Diesel Doolittle. He is your favorite podcaster's favorite podcaster, the man, the myth, and the legend rolled up into one fat jolly ginger bundle. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Diesel.
What's popping, party people?
There you go. Diesel, how has been your week?
It was a good weekend. I spent a lot of time here at Dragon Master Games Saturday helping sort cards and then doing some historic cube drafts on Arena.
Ah, sounds good. By the way, Arena, speaking of, we should have saved this for Dragon Master Corner, but if you are on Apple products, June 25th, Arena is available through for Apple, iOS. There you go. A little early on. I know that's not part of the news. I didn't have it in there, but I just saw it today. I'm excited because I have Apple products. Yeah. This will make it playing easier. Hopefully I can do it on my iPad because that'll be even easier than the computer. But I can do it on the computer still.
I don't think so yet because I think that will be happening when they roll out the
mobile
system. So, yeah.
So anyways, it's still good though. I'm not going to complain. I'm happy to do that. And as we're getting closer, I mean, we might as well mention this because there's no Dungeon Master Corner this week. There's no really news. There is a pre-release maybe for Magic this weekend. We are in phase four, so we possibly can have it happening at Dragon Master Games, hopefully.
They'll find out Thursday night, Friday morning if phase four is going to proceed and with what restrictions that they'll have. So keep your eyes peeled if you're local. If you want to do the Core 2021 pre-release, it might be going down. We will find out pretty much day of.
Yeah, pretty much, unfortunately. But that is the day that they roll out when they do phases. So that's when we'll find out. And if we are allowed, I can't wait. I will be here if we are allowed.
Yep.
I will be here. I will make that promise. Well, you know what, Diesel? Before we go any further, we might as well let people know how to find us. Because, hey, if you want to talk to us about anything, give us your opinion on anything, or just, you know, say hi. You can do that on our social medias. We are Three Fat Nerds Podcast on Facebook. Like and share that page. We're at Three Fat Nerds Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And my wife just messaged me in the middle of our podcast and ruined our music. That's what that was, folks. I'm going to call her out for it. So we're at Three Fat Nerds Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Also, you can find us about, use the hashtag 3FN when talking about the flagship show. You can find us at 8122productions.com. And you can also find Horizonte 607 and the wrestling show there as well. Friends of the show, our sponsors, all that great jazz at 8122productions.com. And of course, you can support us monetarily for as little as $1 a month on Patreon. Patreon.com/8122productions. You get all of the shows with bonus content. You get them all early. And you get the two Patreon exclusive shows. I Love Movies with Ron. And of course, Love is Scary with Dr. Derek. The show that literally is too hot to be anywhere but a paywall. Because trust me, if you knew what we talked about last week, we would have gotten kicked off of everywhere. There you go. So, and shout outs. We had a new patron. So shout outs to Carly for signing up for Patreon. See, she took the advice of $1 and it gets you in the door. So hope she enjoys the content. And if you guys want to enjoy that content too, patreon.com/8122productions. See, you know, it's nice to shout out when we got like new patrons. New patrons are like the lifeblood.
Yeah, goddamn right.
Believe it or not, you guys do make a difference. That's why we got the new soundboard. That's why we got all that neat stuff, except for when my wife messages in the middle of everything. So, but that's not the important part. We came into this week, by the way, Diesel, with very little news.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, on Monday, which is the day we're recording, obviously, on Patreon, you'll hear it Monday night. On everywhere else, it'll be available Tuesday. we just got over flooded with breaking news. So guess what? We'll celebrate that because... it's time for this week's Nerd News. Diesel, we got big, huge breaking news today. Big, huge breaking news.
Lay it on me.
Ready for it? Michael Keaton. Yes, that Michael Keaton is going to reprise his role as Bruce Wayne / Batman in the Ezra Miller Flash movie that will be coming out presumably in 2022. I do believe that's when it's slated to come out. How excited are you that Michael Keaton is returning to the cowl and returning as Bruce Wayne / Batman? I know we've talked about this in the past. What are you thinking?
It's pretty sweet. I'm just more excited that it's actually going to be a Flashpoint movie.
Yeah, I was excited that they announced that as well. Like that, there's the second part of the article that I didn't even get to. It's going to be the Flashpoint.
Yeah, really excited about that. I'm loving it. And there's a lot of reports that saying, like, depending on what happens with this, it could lead into that Batman Beyond movie.
I absolutely think that that's an option. I think I'm really enjoying all of what's going on right now currently with the whole Batman and everything else going on. I'm super impressed with this. I love it. I'm a huge fan. As I've said on the show before, I think that Michael Keaton is the best Batman ever, in my opinion. Second place goes to Ben Affleck. Fuck that. I don't care if people like it or not. So I'm super stoked to have him back. And who would have thought, you know, obviously when he got the role, people were pissed off that Mr. Mom was going to be Batman.
Yeah.
And years later, everybody's excited that here he comes again. Once again, crossing them swords, too, because he is now the Vulture in the Marvel Universe.
He's the Vulture. He's Birdman, Batman, any superhero with wings or supervillain with wings. You know, it's sort of like he's gotten typecast.
He's there. He's your man. If you have wings and you're a supervillain, he's there.
If they remake the Condor, Michael Keaton.
you know who he could have been too? He could have been the what are they called? The flying things from Injustice.
No idea.
Demigoblins or
yeah,
because he could have been them. But speaking of Injustice, and speaking of DC. We reported that the Snyder Cut was coming in 2021. We got the teaser trailer for the Snyder Cut, which did not have a lot in it, but it gave us our first official look at Darkseid. Diesel, how do you feel about how Darkseid looks?
Didn't get to see much of him. It's kind of a faraway look, but the shot, what I'm assuming is on Apocalypse, looks pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah.
It does look pretty sweet.
It does look really cool. It's I dug it. Like you said, you don't get a ton good look at him, but the cool writing, the painting on the wall was cool. The little shot you get of him is great. I'm excited. I'm actually more excited for this cut than I thought I would be.
Yeah.
And I still think that it's going to be dangerous because I think I still am going to be mad one way or another. Because honestly, if it's going to come down to like, it should have been better like when we got it originally.
Yeah.
It's going to be part of me. It's always going to feel slighted.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe it'll ease it if they decide to do like a theater run of it too. You know, after it's been out for a little while, like, hey, well, if you miss the big theater feel for this movie, we're going to put it on for a couple nights. Like, that'd be a cool thing.
I agree with you. I think that would be good, especially if it does well. Guess what, though? Here's something that I know, there's two items in a row I got that I know you're going to be super stoked about, by the way. This is the first one. Cobra Kai Season 3. I know we're waiting for it, but guess what? You don't have to worry about bootlegging it, Diesel. You don't have to worry about trying to find a way to watch it on YouTube Premium, because Cobra Kai Season 3 will be coming to Netflix. Netflix has picked up the Cobra Kai series. Later this year, they will have Seasons 1 and 2 on as well, and Season 3 will debut there as well. There's no date on the debut, because, you know, that's how Netflix does business. So, it is done. It's a matter of time. How do you feel about YouTube selling Cobra Kai to Netflix? And how do you feel about being able to watch all of it on Netflix?
I love this because, yeah, YouTube Premium, YouTube Red, whatever they were calling it at the time, they were putting out some good content. But I'm never going to subscribe to YouTube for anything. So, yes, I definitely found some alternative methods to watch Cobra Kai. It being on Netflix and not having to deal with these shady websites to watch this makes me so happy.
I'm super excited. When talking about this, when it first came up, I just thought about it. I'm like, you know, on YouTube, it's hard to monetize it. Because, yes, you have to have YouTube Premium to monetize it. But
if you have YouTube Premium, you don't get commercials.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're making commercial revenue and they had to pay for it. Yeah. That's not the YouTube way, because if you think about it, YouTube, everybody provides content that they sell advertisements for, and that's how they make money, and they don't have to pay for the content. And YouTube got in the business of trying to do TV shows and stuff. I think this is the example of YouTube's like, hey, we make more money not making TV shows. So I think that selling it to Netflix, I'm assuming, because obviously the rights to the show belong to the showrunners, but YouTube did have a contract with them, which means Netflix had to buy it out.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that they probably bought it out for more than they spent on it. Right. So it's a win-win for everybody. I'm excited to see it on Netflix. Netflix also going into the streaming wars needed that big bad property, and this is a big property.
Yeah.
It's a popular show, and some people who never got a chance to see it will now get a chance to see it. And trust me, you do not want to.
Yeah,
miss
it's really good. And come on, Netflix, do not $1 million baby me. The way season two ended, I can't deal with this shit. I need something good to happen soon.
Well, Diesel, here's another exciting news. And I know that you're a big fan of this, and you finished watching it recently. There's the rumor out there. It's just a rumor now that there's going to be a new Star Wars The Clone Wars animated spinoff. And this spinoff will be centered around Clone Force 99, a.k.a. the Bad Batch, which, of course, is Hunter, Crosshair, Tech, Wrecker, and Echo. But the series will reportedly take place after the Siege of Mandalore, and Ahsoka Tano and Captain Rex are both expected to appear along with Commander Wolf and the Bad Batch. So, you get some of your favorite characters back, Diesel. And yeah. I know you're a huge fan, and I'm a big fan of Clone Wars as well. This is like a second birthday gift behind Cobra Kai. So if this rumor happens, and I'm assuming it's coming to Disney Plus, how are you feeling about a good spinoff for Clone Wars?
So the Bad Batch were introduced at the beginning of the final season, and it was a decent story arc. It was actually a really good story arc. It was like, I think, 3 episodes, maybe even 4. But it just got overshadowed by like how great the finale was. I think like the main plot point that they'll have to go over then would be the Order 66 and how Wolf and the Bad Batch, well, the Bad Batch probably don't even have the inhibitor chips because of they're the Bad Batch. Super excited, though. Super excited. I'm really excited after watching Rebels too, to see where I'm thinking the Mandalorian's going to tie into Rebels very, very nicely. So super excited.
Mm. Well, I'm going to take you back in time, way back, Diesel. Remember the 1990s? Remember what you were doing in the 1990s?
Oh, God.
We were growing up, middle school, high school. Yeah. You know what we were watching a lot of? MTV.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when MTV was good? When they actually played music videos?
Oh.
And then the only reality shows out there were the good ones, like
Road Rules.
Road Rules and Real World, the original incarnations. And then there was a great animated block. Remember that? We had Beavis and Butthead. We had Liquid Television.
Liquid Television was great.
Which brought us such creators like Ian Flux. Yep. Oh. And how about Ren and Stimpy? Remember, that started on MTV.
Yep.
I went over to Nickelodeon after a while, but it started on MTV. But there was another show that was a spinoff of Beavis and Butthead called Daria. Actually, technically, King of the Hill was also a spinoff of Beavis and Butthead. But Daria was on MTV, and that was about a high school girl who was kind of emo before emo was a thing. And it was how her trials and tribulations of life. And, of course, she was a character on Beavis and Butthead prior to this. Well, on that show, if you remember, she had a friend named Jody. That character is now getting a spinoff show all these years later. And the show is going to be following her from graduating from college and entering a complicated world. It will be starring, the animated voice will be done by Blackish star Tracy Ellis Ross. And it will be airing on Comedy Central. Personally, I think this is too little too late. I don't know. What do you feel about it?
So the character that's getting the spinoff show is not the character that people wanted to see. It's because of today's climate and all the social issues going on right now. But like, if you were going to tell me years ago that there was going to be a Daria spinoff show, easy money was going to be on Jane. Jane was a fun character. Fun in the terms of Daria.
Yeah.
But just bring back Daria, like, or I don't know. I think this one's not too much time's gone by, and I think it's a little too much pandering.
I agree. I like I said, I don't know if I think it's one of those things where too much time has gone by. Yeah. However, you know what hasn't been too long? it hasn't been so long since we got the Stranger Things and Dungeons and Dragons crossover. Of course, the kids love playing D&D on the show. They have done a D&D campaign from based on the show. We sell it right here at Dragon Master Games, DragonMasterGames.com. There you go. A little cheap plug. But do you know that there's going to be an IDW, Dark Horse and Dark Horse Comics are teaming up to bring you a comic miniseries with a Stranger Things Dungeons and Dragons crossover.
That's cool.
It will be coming out this year, 2020. So it's out in November. It doesn't have the exact date, just says out in November. And it is going to be, it looks like a six-parter. And it's going to basically go into their campaign. It's going to be the characters from the show as their characters in their campaign in D&D. It sounds a little weird and meta when you say it that way. But here's the first cover. I know you guys can't see it at home, and Diesel's seeing it right now. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah,
and I think
it's
sweet. A great crossover. And I think Stranger Things has done more for getting people into the geek culture of D&D than almost anything else. Am I wrong?
Yeah. You can go one step farther and say role models brought the world of LARPing back to life, but yeah, this is Stranger Things is doing God's work right now.
Yeah, for D&D especially, in because there's a lot of kids out there. Here at Dragon Master Games, our studio is on the playing floor, if you will, of Dragon Master Games. There's two floors here. If you're not local, you might not know this, so I'll just give you a layout. The second floor is where the gaming tables are. So, like, on the left-hand side, there's a big room where Magic is played. I mean, it's all one solid room, but there's except for our studio is actually a separate office. So on one side, you have all the tables for Magic and Pokemon and the card games. And then on the other side, we have tables for GameTop games that also are turned into D&D games. And there's a lot of since Stranger Things, there's been an influx of D&D groups and young people playing D&D. There's like three nights a week where I'm here where there's at least three groups of people playing D&D, and there is some young folks playing.
Yeah.
And it brings a tear to my old nerd eye to see that things are going so strong. I mean, there's a resurgence in a lot of the nerd culture, and it's great, and it's great to see firsthand, because we open up our studio door if we're here, and we can see it firsthand. I know you've noticed that as well,
Jason. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's been an influx of new players, which is a great thing. Yeah, anytime you get new players into any of these games, it's a good thing.
Well, get ready for it. I got a happy way to end our story, Diesel. Guess what? Disney Plus, in the fall, will be premiering Dinosaurs. If you don't remember the show Dinosaurs, it was a puppeteered show where dinosaurs, where it was actually, come to find out, dealing in the last days of the dinosaurs. Yeah. And it was a family of dinosaurs, including the baby dinosaur, who was famous for saying, not the mama.
Yep.
Diesel, I know I was a fan of this as a child. I don't know if you were. Are you excited for this to come to Disney Plus and relive our nostalgia of dinosaurs?
I will have to do a rewatch of this once it comes down to Disney Plus. I love this show growing up.
It was a great
up.
Show.
The only episodes I actually remember, though, are the depressing ones, the series finale, and do you remember the very special episode?
No, I do not. I remember the season finale, though, how it ends, the series, finale.
There was a very special episode where, I forget what they were called, it may have been Critters, but it was dealing with steroid use.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was really weird. But it was a great show. It was a pop culture phenomenon.
Oh, absolutely. It was everywhere.
Yeah, the show was everywhere.
Everywhere. And they were ahead of their time on steroids then, because, you know, it wouldn't be a problem in baseball until years later. But it was a great show. It was tucked into the TGIF series of shows, which, of course, thank God it's Friday. It was a thing that ABC ran for a long time, featuring stuff like Full House and Family Matters and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is... I think it's amazing, and I want to say the puppets were done by Jim Henson Studios.
It sounds right.
I do believe so.
They do have the look of that.
Yeah. So very good. If you guys have a chance when it comes to Disney Plus, I would definitely suggest checking it out. Anybody who's our age will remember the show because it was definitely a phenomenon. Well, Ron is not here, so Dungeon Master Corner, we don't really speak about D&D too much.
I got a quick little gripe.
You got a little gripe?
I got a quick little gripe.
Throw it in there.
Because it's going to transition into the Talking Nerd kind of a little bit. So last week we talked about Wizards of the Coast putting their foot out there, virtue signaling, being like, hey, look at us, we're betting these cards, look how progressive we are. Someone at Hasbro needs to be fired. D&D put out a statement saying that they need to look at some of the races of their game, D&D, and make it more inclusive, which astounds me because D&D is one of the most diverse groups ever. So But it just made no sense that they were just like, oh, you know, the orcs, like giving orcs rights and whatnot. I was like, it just seems really like putting their stuff out there for no reason. And nothing good's going to come of this. It's just annoying. It's just really annoying. Someone at Hasbro really needs to get fired.
I can agree with you. I mean, we'll be a teaser. I will be talking a little bit about some stuff like this in the Talking Nerd segment after the break. I do want to bring up one piece of video gaming news. We are officially getting a Crash Bandicoot 4.
Yeah.
It is announced that we're getting it. It will spin off of the Insane Trilogy, so the remastered versions. And it's called Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time, because it's been 22 years since Crash Bandicoot 3. So it's kind of a nice little fun play on that. I'm excited because I've been a huge Crash Bandicoot fan. Probably my second favorite franchise behind Mario. Well, it's third because Mario and Mega Man are ahead of it. But that's only because I grew up in that time frame.
I never got into the Crash Bandicoot series, so you really can't
throw. Well, I'll be excited for both of us then, Diesel, because obviously you're not that excited.
Crash is no Earthworm Jim. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Oh, I don't know. I think I would disagree with you. But what I do have to, I do want to add this about that coming out.
Better late than never.
That's right. It's better late than never. Better late than never. Mm-hmm. Bring it on. So hopefully next week Ron will be back and we can go in an in-depth Dungeon Master's Corner, but I'm kind of saving some of what Diesel said. I'm glad he mentioned it now, because after the break we're coming back with Talking Nerd. And last week, and we carried on to mostly Patreon for, because we don't like to talk about too much of the social political thing, except for, as you guys know, when it encroaches onto pop culture and nerddom. And there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of hypocrisies, if you will, going on that I think that need to be called out by these companies, because I feel like they think they're doing the right thing, virtue signaling, and they're being hypocrites about it. So we're going to dive into that, and more specifically an incident from the CW and the Flash show that I think is just disgusting. So we'll get to that after the break. You're listening to Three Fat Nerds. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Ken M.
Padawan J.
Coach Duffy.
From the Ocho Duro Parlay Hour podcast, and you're listening to the Three Fat Nerds podcast.
You're falling apart, and you know it. You try and try to hide it, but you show it. I need you to know, I felt it too. And I'm still trying to figure it out, just like you. Just like.
And we're back with the Three Fat Nerds podcast. I decided not even go into music because I didn't really want to pick something out. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I was being lazy there. But Diesel, we got some business to talk about. We kind of teased it earlier. I know we don't like to get too political, but the climate is that. And there's a lot. And we always say that we'll go there if and when it infringes on nerd culture. And they're definitely infringing on nerd culture, because right now, and we talked about it a little bit last week, and we're going to kind of shadow that, because a lot of the discussion, because we were trying to keep it, you know, in the clear, a lot of the discussion happened over on Patreon, well, the bulk of it, because we continued on, about the Magic the Gathering banning cards, and we were fine with them evoking prejudice. Should have been banned, but it should have been banned 26 years ago, because there's been a problem with that card for the entire time it's existed. We pointed out the articles and everything else, and then all of a sudden they wanted a virtue signal, like, look at us, we're the good guys at Magic the Gathering. But you could have done something about it any time in 26 years.
And all it's done is put a spotlight on yourself, and now the secondary market on those cards have skyrocketed, and other cards that could be deemed as racist and hopefully getting banned soon have skyrocketed as right. well. So and you're just putting a negative light on yourself.
And that carried over, because Hasbro owns Wizards of the Coast, which is also who owns Dungeons & Dragons. And you talked about it briefly before the break, that now they're doing the same thing in the Dungeons & Dragons realm.
Yeah.
They're virtue signaling once again, but it's like you could have been doing this all along. Like, why is it when everybody is trying to make a good social image, is everybody trying to make a change? And my thing is, I guess, I'm not trying to bring these companies down, because I do play Magic. I'm not trying to bring down Dungeons & Dragons. We're going to talk about The Flash in a minute. I'm not trying to bring down The Flash. I enjoy The Flash. But I just want to know why these companies, and I have an answer, we'll get to my answer a little bit, but these companies are now trying to be like, we're the good guys, we're on your side, but we weren't changing it when nobody was saying anything. No. So if you really are socially conscious, if you really are on somebody's side, there's that you wouldn't be a hypocrite. But these companies are coming across to me as a hypocrite. You know, it's i.e. we talked about SpongeBob being gay. I don't care if SpongeBob's gay or not. Neither do you. We both discussed that. However, it is weird timing, isn't it?
Yeah.
What if he was, why didn't you say it the whole time? Why did it come out? We discussed it. The first episode was in 1999. So after, you know, 21 years, now it comes out? And after it's not the hottest TV show on Nickelodeon anymore, now it comes out?
Oh, what month is it? Oh, it's Pride Month?
Right. And I'm just saying, be woke. If you guys want to be woke, people, get awake. These companies aren't doing this because you're making a change. These companies are doing this to shill you out of money. It's hypocrisy at its finest. And the reason it's coming up here is because I did, me and you were talking about this. I took great offense to this. CW. CW put out, and it was on the, actually, I think they put it out across their different ones, but it came across on the Flash. So on the official Flash Twitter, which is at CW underscore the Flash, they put out this statement. Words matter. So does action. We can do more. We will do more. The CW appreciates and welcomes enthusiastic and thoughtful commentary about our shows. We are committed to making our social pages a safe place for our fans and talent to engage with each other. We will not tolerate and will block racist or misogynistic comics, as well as any hate towards the LGBTQ plus community. It's a great statement, right? I think it's great. That's good. I'm excited that anybody does. The problem is, that was tweeted out this week. Some people decided decided to call them on their shit by saying, this is nice and all, but let's not forget Candace Patton has been speaking up against the racist comments she's been attacked with from fans of this show for 6 seasons, and they're just doing something now. Of course, Candace Patton is a actress on The Flash. Diesel took homage to the fact that somebody said that she was the lead actress. I'm sorry, you don't agree she's the lead actress. She is the girlfriend.
Yes.
I just thought it was funny that you were like, she's not the lead actress. That was your first part of the statement before you're like, this is bullshit. Yeah. But your first part, you had to make that up. But anyway, so Candace has been there for a while on the show, and she has been getting, and I can't even read some of this because, of course, it got reposted by people. But some of this is like, I will read this one because this one's more tame. We'll call it more tame than some of the other ones.
I'll read them all.
It says this person, I'm not going to shout out their name because we're not making whatever, although she did correct this person's English. 100 years ago, I'd have bought and sold your stupid ass. Think about that. Like, how fucked up is it that somebody, how fucked up is it that somebody wrote that to somebody else? And the CW, which they were tagged in, never did anything about this because this happened. Do I have a date? This happened on August 7th of 2018 at 1:36 p.m. By the way, thankfully Twitter has timestamps. But now they're saying something about it in 2020.
Yeah, and a week after that, they let go of the actor that played.
By the way, this statement came out June 15th at 7:30 p.m. is when they put out their statement on 2020.
Yeah.
That happened in 2018. There's more than just that, but that was the only one I was going to read. How sickening is that? But continue. Sorry,
DJ. Yeah, but yeah, this comes out, you know, a week after they let go of one of their actors for past Twitter comments. Then, yeah, the social movement. And, like, I get it. Like, my point was, like, I don't think she's the female lead of The Flash. She's the Flash's girlfriend, love interest. Yes, but the show's called The Flash. It's not about her. Now, this goes back to what we were saying.
Yeah, but you weren't insulting.
Yeah, no.
You just thought it was funny to me that the only reason I brought it up is because in our chat, you sent us the article, but you put, first thing, she's not the lead actress, but this is fucked up. Like, that was your literal whole statement. Like, and I read it, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
But this goes back to, like, you know, well before this, but the Last Jedi with Rosemary Tran.
Mm-hmm.
And we get it. Like, if you don't like the character, it's one thing. But the actress has no control over what's written for that person. Like, you should not show that person hatred. You should not make statements like that Twitter user did. Like, holy shit, that's brutal.
Oh, and that was... And I'm being honest. Yeah. That was tame compared to other things that she put up with. And by the way, speaking of it, she had more poise than I could have ever had. Literally, what she did is the person spelled your... as in you are, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. I'm pissed off about it. And she just corrected that the proper way was Y-O-U-R. Like, that is more poise than I could ever have when somebody would make a disgusting comment like that to me.
Well,
like,
I don't know.
More poise.
That's technically called being a grammar Nazi, and I don't know if you can...
Diesel. At that point in juncture, man, she's allowed to fire back.
Without
And the fact that she didn't is like, upstanding to her.
Yeah.
But, like, here you are, the CW, trying to virtue signal, we're the good guys! We fired somebody for past discretions, and we talked about it the week before. We fired somebody for past discretions, and now we're going to police our comments. But for the last 6 years, you haven't policed shit, and one of your actresses on one of your most popular shows has been getting like horrible racist messages that you're tagged in.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Where was this 6 years ago? That comment was from 2018.
Yeah.
That's 2 years ago. 2 years ago.
It just doesn't make any sense anymore. Like,
and it's the same thing. It's the same thing we said about Magic. You had 26 years. Yeah. I'm not saying to boycott Magic by it, but it's hypocrisy. It's because it's right now it's in vogue and you want to be like, oh, I'm virtue signaling. We're the good guys. Yeah. And people are falling for this shit. It's horrible. And that's the downside of cancel culture / virtue signaling, is these companies don't care. You know, it came out this past week, and I don't know how true it is. This is, I'm going to say, allegedly, because I just was skimming past it, because you know me, I'm tired of hearing some bad news. It came out this past week, I guess, that Taco Bell supports Donald Trump. I'm assuming that means the owners of Taco Bell, because as an entity, you can't, as a non-person entity, you can't support shit.
Yeah.
But that came, I saw that somewhere on my timeline, and I went, of course they do. Of course the owners do. Why wouldn't a rich white man support another rich white man? Yeah. Like, you guys don't get, like, that's their interest. Like, why wouldn't they? Like, I guarantee that the people that are ahead of the CW, they probably also support him.
Yeah.
Like I'm not trying to be, like, facetious and an asshole.
It has nothing to do with Trump,
but nothing to do with Trump. They support anybody who is going to allow them to make more money.
Yeah, it has to do with who the Republican Party is not going to tax as hard as, to the rich people, as hard as the Democrats want to. So yes, they're going to support, because right, that affects them directly in the wallet. So.
And I'm not defending what they do, yeah, but I'm just saying, when you guys are like getting outraged over some of these things, look at where the money goes. We talked about this on the wrestling show a few weeks ago. You weren't on the show when we talked about it, but it's like the cons put out all this like shit for the own AEW. And I'm not, once again, I'm not saying don't watch AEW, but that them as a family are big contributors to the Republican Party and Donald Trump. Yeah. But yet they're saying that they're progressive. Like, you got to remember, guys, what you say to the public and what you do behind. And once again, I don't blame them. And I'm not saying that I agree, because I don't agree. But I could understand if I was a rich white man that owned a big company, I would support whoever was going to tax me the least too. It's supporting your interests. But that's why I'm saying there's a hypocrisy in all of that, folks. Like, you can't come out and just go, oh, I'm so happy that my favorite gaming company or my favorite whatever, insert here, has come out against this. Because what have they done to prove it?
Yeah.
There's a local news channel that we brought up last week, and I'll bring it up again, whose Facebook feed comments are the most atrocious racist place on the planet. And they've done nothing about it. They even made a statement that said, oh, we're going to whatever. And in that comments thread of that statement, it was business as usual.
Yeah.
And it's been that way for years, Diesel, and you know that. As a matter of fact, I sometimes go just to read how stupid people are in the comments.
That's great. That's good entertainment.
But it's just stupidity. Like, I don't understand how you can say publicly, and mind you, this is what the definition of hypocrisy is. You're saying publicly, like, we're against this, but you're letting it happen. And now it's cool to get rid of that card if you're Magic, or it's cool to put out a statement at CW, we're not going to tolerate this. We're going to ban and delete people and blah, 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 blah. But this has been going on for years, and you let it go for years. Tagged in it.
Yeah.
Tagged in it.
And that's the thing with CW, too, is like, I guess they're changing the route of Riverdale now because of all the social stuff going on right now. And then, even then, the cancel culture is trying to hit people for not speaking up loud enough for them. Because one of the stars of Riverdale... went out and was like getting condemned for not speaking out against, you know, what's going on in today's society, and not being like adamant and like putting out there on social media that he supports Black Lives Matter. And he's like, look, like, I'm just, what I do, like, and he posted that he's actually done a lot for the movement, like donated money or something like that. And he's like, I don't need to make it about me and saying what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that makes a lot of sense. Like, cause
I appreciate that more.
Yeah. Like, I don't like it. CW is just putting it out there. It's like, because they would rather
they don't want you changing the channel to watch something else.
Well, no one's even going to do that. You put on good programming. But in today's society, you need to, especially if you have racial tendencies, racial biases, you need to make sure everyone knows that you're not racist. You're not homophobic, because that's the worst thing to be called right now, is those two terms right now.
But, I mean, I think that if you're not, I think by...
It has nothing to do with racism or homophobia. It has to do with the fear of being called a racist or a homophobe. That's all it is.
But in essence, that makes you a hypocrite if you don't do actually anything about it. You can say all the statements you want, but if you're supporting or you're... It's not even supporting. By lack of doing anything, you're supporting. Like, if you're allowing somebody on your feed to be racist without getting rid of them to a black celebrity, or in the case of Star Wars, to an Asian celebrity. If you're the same thing, Star Wars put that fucking thing out, and that's the first thing I thought of. Where were you years ago when that happened to Rose?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't like the character of Rose because I thought they shoehorned her in, but she did a fine job.
Yeah.
The actress herself, there's nothing wrong with her. She did an amazing job, and I've said that time and time again. The character didn't really fit in the storyline, but she did a good job. You cannot blame her for doing a great job as an actress, and you sure as hell shouldn't be attacking somebody who took a fucking job and did the best that they could. And my problem is Star Wars didn't, you know, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I'm not saying boycott Star Wars, and I'm not going to, but at the same time, they took this big stand because John Boyega made an amazing speech. Dude, his speech had me fucking ready to go out and speak on it. And then they backed him, and it's like, where were you a few years ago when she needed you? And people tagging you were being openly racist and xenophobic towards her because she was Asian. Like, what does her being Asian have to do with how she acts in a movie? Yeah. And you condoned it then. Because not doing anything is being compliant. I will say that. Like, that's the one speaking term that I will use that other people use. Not speaking about something does make you compliant. If you are taking somebody's money and they're like, okay, we can't piss them off because we want their money, so we're not going to admonish, you know, them doing something disgusting, then that's a bad reasoning, in my opinion. I'm sorry. The other thing that I don't like going on right now, and I got to turn this, and this is going to be more me, and it's been happening lately, is I've been seeing the word gaslighting a lot lately. Like, everybody is like, on one side, everybody's accusing everybody of gaslighting. I want to say there, I really wanted to take the time, I guess, you know, and there's the most political that I'm going to be on this show probably ever. There's gaslighting that goes on, but there's times where it's not gaslighting. Like, if somebody really is asking a question and they're sincere about it and they, you know, hey, this is a problem I have, either A, you answer the question as best as you can, or you try to point them in a direction to answer the question. Now, if after you answer the question or you point them in the direction of the answer, if they keep coming back and saying the same thing, now it is a diversion that is gaslighting. You know what I mean? Once you've tried to help them, that is gaslighting. But to ask a question is not gaslighting anybody.
Yeah.
To ask a question is to help you understand if you're doing it from that standpoint. If you're doing it as to tear down an argument, it is. If you're just ignoring a reason and then, you know, like if it's that case, okay, I get it. That's gaslighting. But to ask a question, you know, people have questions. Especially if you're not of, you know, people will have questions for the gay community if they are not gay. People are going to have questions for the African-American community if they're not African-American. People will have questions for the Jewish community, et cetera. You know what I mean? And it goes on and on and on. If you're not, sometimes just answering the question helps us all understand. Am I wrong? I mean, I just want to get that out there so everybody's like, because the cancel culture thing is, got it. It's getting old.
I wanted to provide examples for each of those, but I kept my mouth shut.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you. But honestly, though, like on a serious note, like this is a problem right now. That on one end, you're celebrating people who are being hypocrites and not really doing anything, that are trying to shill you out of your money. Well, at the same time, you're, you know, punishing other people for asking questions.
Yeah.
And I feel like asking questions and trying to better understand. Now, mind you, once you go into the level of I explained it to you, but you're still using that as a crutch. Now you're purposely being an asshole. But if you explain it to somebody, somebody may be like, oh, I just never saw it that way. Oh, cool. And you might have turned somebody to your side. Like, that's how change happens, folks.
Did you see the new video that came out last week with all the celebrities? They will not stand by.
Yeah, I saw.
Oh, talk about fucking pandering and disingenuous. Holy,
it's almost, it was almost as bad as the Imagine.
It was worse. It was worse. I think it was honestly worse because, you know, I was thinking Imagine during the COVID shit, like, all right, that was bad. It was really bad. But to be like, I won't stand by if someone tells a racial joke in my presence. Well, bullshit. He ain't going to do shit. You're going to be the one saying it. You're going to laugh it off. But it's like Aaron Paul, I lost all respect for in that. Because, you know, he had to start off like hands like this, like deep in thought. I was like, oh, you're such a douchebag. I love Aaron Paul.
Oh, yeah, but I get you. It comes through as disingenuous.
Stanley
really
Tucci,
does.
I'm done with him. Like,
but think about it. Yeah. It comes off as disingenuous. And I'm sorry if people think that it was generous. Once again, I've said this before. I can have intelligent conversation with anybody. And I'm not saying things don't need to change because you got to remember, you're talking to me and Diesel here. You know, Ron's not here right now, and I know he believes the same. But me and Diesel, we've known each other for a long time. We come from that old school punk rock fucking anarchy. Like, we've been waiting for shit to hit the fan for a long fucking time. Let's be honest. And that's a true statement. We've been waiting for change for a long fucking time. So when it comes, you're going to be like, okay, I support change. But let's not take our eyes off the prize. Like, change is real reform. Change is real things. Change is equality. Change is things that are going to push the dynamic. Change isn't buying into some corporate fucking company trying to show you on more things. That's my problem right now. And these companies are disingenuous. And why it bothers me is that I hate hypocrisy. I really do. I hate the fact that I look at the CW and go, I love your shows. But you make this statement and then people point out, hey, listen, where was this for six seasons of a black actress dealing with some of the worst fucking shit you could read? I read the tamest thing I could find as an example, because I'm not going to read some of the shit she had to put up with. And the fact that, like, I give her credit all day, the poise that she had to deal with it. And by the way, she's a beautiful woman. Like, she's gorgeous.
Hates the character. But, oh, God.
She is gorgeous.
I can see why The Flash is into that.
Oh, yeah. She is gorgeous.
Oh.
And there was things making fun of her looks. I went, who the fuck are you looking at? This woman is gorgeous. Yeah. Gorgeous. Like, you know why you're making fun of her looks? Because you can't got a shot in hell. Not that I do.
Oh.
But I'm a married man also. But, I mean, I'm just saying, she's gorgeous. She's a beautiful woman.
Hey, if she's into it, she can slide into my DMs at Big Nanny Cool.
There you go. Diesel will protect you. He'll troll the trolls for you.
Well.
He'll troll the trolls for you. You know, hey, listen.
Or I might say more vile stuff, but with consent, depending on if you're into that sort of thing.
Tune in to patreon.com/8122productions for Love is Scary. You'll find out some of the Diesel kinks that he's into. We can't talk about them on air. But anyways.
Well, that's a whole other thing, too, aside from my kinks, but have you noticed, too, a lot of the Black Lives Matter stuff has been slowed down, like, on social media, because now you got hashtag speaking out. You have the Me Too movement sparking up again. It's weird, because now, like, attention's getting diverted to other places really
I don't
quick.
Like that either.
Yeah.
I don't. And mind you, I was one of the people, and we talked about this on this show. We took our stand on this show and said, I wasn't taking off Pride Month. I'm very much an ally. You know, and I've said it. I'll say it again. My mother is gay. My mother is a lesbian. I am an ally. I have a lot of friends who are in the LGBTQ plus community. I'm definitely an ally. So I do celebrate Pride Month. You know, it was a hard one to sell. Usually we have a big festival here in Binghamton. Unfortunately, COVID kind of knocked that out. And I usually go because I support that. I mean, we usually go to the state fair, the New York State Fair on Pride Day, you know, with my mom and wear stickers and all that happy jazz. And I know that's not a big fucking movement, but it's something. It's something to support. And so we were always going to support that, but we also did take the stand and we participated in Podcast Blackout because we support the BLM movement as well. Because, you know, there has to be a change. But now when you're getting into all these other things, and I'm not saying they're not serious. Don't get me wrong. Hashtag speaking out, you know, it is a serious thing and you should, but
hashtag right regret.
But if you think about it seriously though, Like, you're right. There is like a diversion from the cause, the actual cause that was changing. The nice part about it is we were seeing change for the first time in a long time. Like, every other time it's been swept under the rug, but look at it. We're having things outlawed in places, and there's the actual real fucking change happening. And that's a beautiful thing that's needed to happen for a long time across the board. And that's why I said I can't, and that's why these companies are latching on, though. Because that is the change. They don't want change necessarily. They just want to earn some money. Yeah. And I get it. I do. I get it from their part. I do. But that doesn't mean I can't call them out for being hypocrites. Yeah. Like, I can't stand, I'm not going to sit by silent. And that's why we did this and we got political, because I wasn't going to sit by silent and Diesel agreed to it and see somebody go, hey, we're a great company, but you're letting one of your actresses get shitted on. Like, horrible things that never should be said to somebody.
And that's only off of The Flash. Like,
yeah, we're going to talk about everything else.
I can only imagine what's being said on the actors on Black Lightning.
Oh, yeah.
You know they're getting shit, too.
Right, right. I mean, this is the only one that was spoken up for at this point. Yeah. But you're right. You're absolutely right. And here you are. You're saying, oh, it sounds good now, guys. You go, good job. Good job throwing that signal up there. But you have 6 seasons. And we read you an example from 2 years ago. And now's the time, you know, because it's in vogue. It's the thing to do. It's a way to make money.
It's more important to be seen as not being a racist than to actually not be racist.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about public perception.
So I challenge, and I mean, I know my voice doesn't carry that, and I challenge this to those companies. Put your money where your mouth is. If you really believe these things, then stop them. Don't just put it out there. Because guess what? It's more important what you do than what you say. It's more important that you take care of the game, or you take care of the racism in your game, or the sexism in your game, or your show, or your fan base, whatever you want to say. It's more important that you take care of that hate coming from them, and however much it is, whether, like I said, whether it's racism, sexism, genderism, whatever. How about you just actually do something about it instead of just saying it? Because getting rid of a card in Magic, like we talked about last week, that you could have done in 26 years. It's too little too late. The fact that there is a big problem with sexism and racism in gaming, period, is that's still a problem. Why don't we go to that? Let's take care of that. Before we put out these nice messages, let's take care of that. CW, I'm glad you're taking a stand. It hasn't helped out her for 6 years. And it hasn't, and you're right. I can only imagine what the Black Lightning cast has gone through, or what any other celebrity not white has gone through. Because we know what happened in Star Wars, too. Yeah. Star Wars, I'm going to fire on you, too. You're putting out all these statements. And yeah, John Boyega said some amazing fucking things that you should really own up to and live by. But at the end of the day, a couple years ago, you let an actress get horrible things said about her. And you did nothing. You sat by. Those tweets are still there.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And we've seen what happens. Recently in the wrestling world, we lost a wrestler, a Japanese female wrestler, to suicide because of things said to about her. Not for wrestling for once, I'll say that, but it was about a reality show she was on. People kill themselves all the time because of this. It's fucking sad. So stop saying about it. Start being about it. That's my overall. Sorry that we had to get political. We'll come off our soapboxes now to go into the main event of the evening, which is Diesel's movie Triple Stuff. But I just felt like we had to say something. Diesel said we just wanted to throw. We tried to throw some jokes in there. Let's be honest. But the political.
I should give my examples of questions.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, though. Like,
I think homie, what's it like to be circumcised?
Well, I'm circumcised.
Well, so am I. But you know, asking a Jew questions.
I have some Mexican questions for you.
I might be able to answer that.
If you guys don't know, Diesel is half Mexican.
Shoot one.
I don't know. How do you make a real burrito?
See.
But anyways, honestly, all jokes aside, though, like, I mean, that's our political stance. I don't want to jump into it again. I'm not even going to bring it up if any more hypocrisy says. Maybe we'll bring it up on our social medias, but we'll just start putting hypocrites. Like, when they put something out, I'm just gonna, instead of talking about it, unless it gets me pissed off like this situation did, because that is fucking horrible that they let that happen. And like I said, for the person out there that says she was ugly, who the fuck are you looking at, man?
Oh,
he used some colorful language that I'm not going to fucking use, but what the fuck are you looking at, stupid? Gorgeous. Listen, I will take, oh, Lordy. If I was not a married man and she was into chubby white guys, I'd fucking be in. I'd be in. Diesel, let's have some fun, though. We got Diesel's movie triple stuff, or two and a half stuff, or whatever the fuck you call it these days.
Hey, you know what's coming out this week? Nothing.
Well, pretty soon, we're going to have some stuff.
We're looking at, what
July?
July 24th. Hopefully, Mulan gets to come out. We're not sure yet.
But we should have, we could have some box office news as early as next week, but it'll all be old movies.
Yes.
Because some of the theaters are opening, in New York, they're opening this week. Some of them, not all companies, but I think Regal's opening this week. And other ones in certain places. But because more of them are opening, what they're doing is putting old movies in the theater. Yeah. So we might have some box office news, and it's going to be older movies, which is going to be interesting to see how much more. Does that count towards their overall gross in the box office for all time?
Oh, for Avatar's hope, I hope not.
Fuck. Damn it. You know James Cameron's chopping at the bit to get that out there.
Yeah. Yeah, so box office this week. Nothing. Yeah, pretty soon we might be able to see Jaws again and add to that. That's a good thing. Go see Jaws.
Yes.
Although,
see Jaws. I enjoy Jaws.
Although they killed that shark and he did not give his consent. He was just doing shark things.
By the way, it gets worse if you go through 2 through 5.
Yeah, it does.
Or 2 through 4. 4? Or 5?
I think it's 4. Jaws 4, The Revenge.
It's not even 4. It's just Jaws Revenge. Yeah. The Revenge. Ugh.
Ugh, so bad. Ugh, so bad. Continue. Although there was a nice throwback to it with the Meg, with the banana boat.
That was kind of funny. And by the way, I know my father-in-law, because of my stepson, ended up hearing some of our podcasts. He said he really enjoyed the Meg, and he was disappointed we didn't. I go,
we loved
the Meg. It was a bad movie, but we loved
it. Yes, that's what we were saying the entire time, like 2 years ago.
I just want to throw it out. So if you have any questions, we loved the Meg. It was just, it wasn't a great movie. The CGI looked like shit. It looked like a sci-fi movie, but it was a great, entertaining movie.
We were saying all the bad stuff, and in despite all of that,
we still liked it. It was entertaining.
It was entertaining. I can't wait for Meg 2, even though they sort of jumped the shark with introducing the second Meg in the first Meg.
Can you wait for July 28th, Deep Blue Sea 3? I'm being serious. Coming straight to VOD.
I was going to say, too, like, where does the Meg fit in? Like, obviously, it's not Jaws quality.
No.
But I think it's in the same vein as Anaconda.
Ooh, yes.
I
would say that. I would agree.
I would put it just slightly below Deep Blue Sea.
But slightly above Anaconda?
But in that same vein.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
I'm in.
Yeah.
I think that's where it belongs. Because Deep Blue Sea was the first one. Yeah. I never saw the second one. But the first one was good.
Yeah.
Once again, cheesy, but entertaining.
Yeah.
It was slightly better than the Meg in entertainment value.
Yeah.
Especially because Sam Jackson and then getting chomped. But, and Adam Cole.
Oh, yeah.
Let's be honest. And my hat is like a shark's fin.
Which we heard.
We played that just for you guys. But yeah, we enjoyed the Meg. Just throwing it out there. So Diesel, we have a top three, though.
Top three. We're coming off of Father's Day. There was a conversation on Ken's Facebook about best fathers in media. And also in the Magic Group, there was talk about a certain movie last night. So it got me thinking, what are your top three Father's Day type movies?
You know, so the father, movies the father, father's yeah. involved in. Oh, man, this is a tough one, actually, for me. I was just thinking about him, and I'm like, you told me earlier. I've been thinking about him the whole show. Number three, got Ghost Dad. it fell down the list a little bit because Bill Cosby. I'm just saying.
It still holds up.
It still holds up. But Bill Cosby, a little bit. Number two is going to surprise you. Over the Top.
Yeah, well, no, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Some people, I might have to defend that, but that is a father-son movie.
Yeah, 100% is.
Father-son movie, Over the Top.
Yeah.
And number one, because I have to do it, because I have to shill for it, Empire Strikes Back. It doesn't get better for dads than that. But honorable mention, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, because I know you won't say it, because you hated that scene. I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah.
You might have been your father, but I'm your daddy.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't give a fuck if you hate it or not. Suck it, dude.
It was trying too hard to get the We Are Groot moment. That's all I'm saying.
I still thought it was amazing. So
it was good.
You.
It was good.
But that'll be my honorable mention because I know you won't bring that up. But yeah, there's my list, Diesel.
Number three we share because it was Ghost Dad.
And that fell down the list. I gotta be honest. That used to be higher on my list because it's an awesome movie. But Bill Cosby.
Even in the afterlife, a father's love is still
a real funny movie.
But, yeah, it was
but
really
Bill
good.
Cosby.
Yeah. Number two, this is a movie that got brought up in the Magic chat last night, Big Fish.
Oh, that's a really good movie. I love it. That's one of my favorite. I don't have a ton of Tim Burton movies that are my favorite. I think that was his last good one.
I think after that, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory came out.
The Planet of the Apes remake that he did that was garbage.
No, that was well before.
Was that before?
That was well before.
Well, okay, so he made one good movie after that. But I mean, I appreciate some of the things Tim Burton does. Big Fish was really good.
But Big Fish is really good, and like the Tim Burton style actually fits it because of the story that's being told.
I agree. I like that movie.
And then number one, Frequency.
Oh, man, I wasn't even thinking about that. It was a good movie, though.
Frequency makes me bawl like a little bitch every time. For some reason, like the father-son dynamic movie, even though I have a great relationship with my father, it just tears me up. And
it's good.
Like,
it's good. It's good. That was good.
Yeah. And then my honorable mention is actually going to be the Diesel's Movie Club Pick of the Week. And that is... Oh, I can't remember what year. I want to say 89, but I could be
I'll
wrong.
I'll confirm it in a second.
But Dutch, starring Ed O'Neill and Ethan Embry.
Could I...
That's not a father-son, but a stepfather-stepson movie.
You were off, by the way.
What was it,
1991.
Ah, 1991. I was 2 years off on each side.
You were close. Dude, you were super close. That's why I said you were close. Yeah. Let me give you the before you dive in. Of course, it was released July 19th, 1991, distributed by 20th Century Fox. Production company was Hughes Entertainment. Running time of 107 minutes. Budget, $17 million. Guess what the box office was?
32.
4.6.
Ooh, lost some money.
4.6.
And I just want to throw this out there. You could make the case that this is a holiday film. Right?
You could.
Adding credence, because it got released in July.
It's a John Hughes film.
Oh, is it a John Hughes film? Yeah. Oh, wow. A lesser known
John Hughes. It was written by John Hughes. It was directed by Peter Fahman.
Okay.
It stars, of course, you already mentioned some of the stars. Ed O'Neill's in the movie. Ethan Randall, Joe Beth Williams.
Ethan Randall, also known as Ethan Embry.
Yes, Ethan Embry. Yes, yes. But I was listening how it was listed.
Star of Can't Hardly Wait.
Yes, yes, sir. Funny picture because you got Ed O'Neill in the picture.
Yeah.
Of course, if you don't remember who Ed O'Neill is.
Another great father in...
Al Bundy. Yeah. If you're going by TV shows, you got to go with him. But no, great.
But you can make the case that this is a holiday movie because I believe they're trying to get back to for either Thanksgiving or Christmas, right? It's his mom's boyfriend and like he's picking him up from boarding school. Really good movie. They bond over the movie, but it's comical, kind of slapstick, but it's a really good movie. But it adds to credence to the fact that just because you're released in the summer.
It was Thanksgiving, by the way.
It was Thanksgiving, but it was released in July. Die Hard, totally a Christmas film.
Yeah, that's fine. I should have known John Hughes had something to do with it when I said the production company was Hughes Entertainment.
Yeah.
But yeah, John Hughes wrote it. And he also produced it. Well, Robert Weissman also produced, but John Hughes as well. It's pretty good stuff, man. I can't believe it made so much little money. It's a good movie.
Yeah, it is.
I enjoyed the movie quite a bit.
It's kind of up there. Like, I think more people need to watch it, because it's sort of like in the same vein as Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It's a good Thanksgiving movie.
And it's comedy. It's a lot of fun.
Not as good as Son-in-Law, but...
Just giving you the rundown, because we can't play the game, obviously, because Ron's not here. This has got a 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb. Only a 14% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Whoa!
3.8 out of 5 for Netflix, and a 92% like by Google users. I can't believe the Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, the Rotten Tomatoes one. Like, they might have gotten, like...
By the way, it is in the vein of... They point out other... Thanksgiving movies like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, of course, Son-in-Law. So, no, I love Dutch. When you brought it up earlier, I was like, you know what? I have not seen Dutch in a long time.
Yeah, it's been years.
Oh, man. That's crazy. So, yeah, Dutch, great movie. If you haven't seen it, check it out. That's Diesel's Movie Club Pick of the Week. Diesel, it's been a fun show, but we got to take care of some business. It's time for that shameless plugs. That means if you hear my voice, that means you know how to find us. But do your friends know how to find us? Do their friends know how to find us? It's easy. You tell them to type in 3 Fat Nerds in any search bar for any podcatcher out there. Bam, there we are. Smash that subscribe button so you can get our shows downloaded to you each and every week.
We're also on Facebook. Just type in that search bar, 3 Fat Nerds Podcast. You're going to like our page. You're going to comment, rate, review. Help us spread the word of nerd.
We're on Twitter and Instagram at 3FatNerdsPod. And remember, for all the social medias, use that hashtag 3FN when talking about the flagship show.
And if you have to email us for anything, 3FatNerdsPod@gmail.com.
If you would like to support us monetarily and help us pay them bills around here, you can do that and get a boatload of bonus content as well for as little as $1 a month. Join us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/8122productions.
Did you say 8122 productions?
I sure as hell did, Diesel.
As in http://8122productions.com.
That's right, 8122productions.com for all things 8122 Productions. Check out the 3 Fat Nerds Podcast, the wrestling show. Also, you can check out Horror Zone 607. All the archives are there. There's some things that are written there. We got to do some more stuff with the website because kind of COVID ruined everything because we had events and everything up on there. And Yeah, all of them been canceled. But you can also find our friends of the show, like the Ocho Duro Parlay Hour podcast, better known as the ODPH. Check them out. Of course, you can hear it, Ken M, with me right here for the wrestling show every week on the 3FN Network. Also, check out our friends who are musicians who lend their music to our show. Bands like Second Suitor, the band that does our opening music for this. Shout at the Robots, Floodlands, and the Foss Fiends from Melbourne, Australia. You can find their music, all of them, on Bandcamp, Google Play Music, Spotify, anywhere where you get music. Please support them. All of that does help out great local musicians. Last but certainly not least, you can also check out our page for all of our local sponsors here in the 607. Their information is there, but we're going to give them a quick shout out because, hey, they help us bring this show to you, starting with the people who provide us with this awesome studio. That's right, Dragon Master Games. Located at, it is the area, 607's premier Magic the Gathering and gaming shop. That's right, I said it. We are located at 1235 Upper Front Street, Binghamton, New York. For all your Magic the Gathering gaming needs, if you would like to do that online, you can do that at DragonMasterGames.com. And most importantly, to find out, because events might be happening again very soon, crossing our fingers, to find out about those, like them on Facebook, Dragon Master Games.
And thank you to Rex Terod's Auto Detailing, located at 2004 North Street in Endicott, New York. To call for an appointment, call 607-644-3389. When you're ready to put the pride back in your ride, don't forget to tell them the Three Fat Nerds sent you.
Well, I know you're... Have you looked something up?
Kind of.
Okay, isn't it going to be as good as last week? Which was completely accidental. By the way, so as you know, Ron usually has, you know, his little ending he does. Somehow Diesel found one on pure accident that, like, fit him to a T. Not that we agreed on what the guy was saying, like, but it fit you to a T, yes. Which was perfect hearing you read it. Because, I feel like you would definitely be into blue person sex.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I don't want to steal Ron's gimmick of reading a review, but... The Na'vi are monogamous creatures who mate for life. The mechanics of reproduction are similar to that of humans and other Terran mammals. The intertwining of cues is both highly erotic and profoundly spiritual, but it is not the actual act of sexual reproduction.
Mm.
I started looking up the sexual habits of the Na'vi.
Oh, well, I'm glad that fits you, though. That feels Dr. that fits the Dr. Derek thing. So if you're going to do it, add your own twist, maybe. But with that being said, once again, sorry we had to get a little political, but hey, you don't take a stance on something, you don't stand for nothing, right? But I know we brought a lot of other funny in there. And if you're on Patreon, you got to hear Diesel be funny. Because that's the place for Diesel, let's be honest. Patreon is like your own personal playground. It's the best reason to be on Patreon. If I'm selling our Patreon to anybody, it's because Diesel is, he's allowed to be free and wild. And trust me, there's nothing more majestic than a Diesel in the free and the wild. And of course, if you're on Patreon, he also did offer you to send you pics if you want. At Big Natty Cool.
Only to my chubby chasers.
There you go. Well, with that being said, thank you guys for listening. We will be back with more entertainment, more fun, more shit next week, because obviously the world didn't end. I know we didn't bring it up earlier, but the world didn't end, Diesel. We're still here. Now, mind you, it's still 2020, so anything's possible. But as long as the world's not over, we will always be here to bring you entertainment, to bring you the funny, to bring you our opinions on all things pop culture and nerdom. Thank you guys so much for listening. And I only have one thing left to say this week. That's later, nerds.
I know I should say Avatar still sucks, but it got me thinking. What's an Avatar daisy chain look like?
Avatar fucking sucks, folks.
You're falling apart, and you know it. You try and try to hide it, but you show it. I need you to know, I felt it too. And I'm still trying to figure it out, just like you. Just like you. But you never did. You never took the time.